This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Advocates in Chicago say calls from immigrants who are seeking deportation legal support have skyrocketed since Operation Midway Blitz started last month. My colleague Adriana Cardona-McGeegod was at a press conference today, and she reports Arendria Rendon with the nonprofit The Resurrection Project says her organization and other immigrant rights groups have been collecting data on calls for help. She says Latinos, mostly Mexicans and Venezuelans, are being targeted by federal agents.
They're deciding who to target based on the color of their skin, based on the language we speak. And this is not law enforcement. This is state terrorism.
Advocates also criticized top U.S. Border Patrol Commander Gregory Bovino, who recently told WBEZ arrests are partly based on the particular characteristics of an individual, how they look. Public defenders and legal aid groups are pushing to bar arrests by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers at Cook County courthouses. This comes after at least three people were detained over the last month, all while trying to attend hearings. Charlene Grace is a senior policy advisor for the Public Defender's Office and says ICE activity at courthouses is disrupting normal operations.
People were so alarmed when they saw unidentified men in an unidentified car with an assault rifle outside of this domestic violence courthouse that they actually called 911.
Chief Judge Timothy Evans did not respond to our request for comment. The federal government has placed a restriction on all private drone activity around the Chicago area. The Sun-Times reports the Federal Aviation Administration has banned drones through October 12th unless that drone is supporting activities of the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, or the Department of Justice. The order prohibits drones as far north as suburban Winnetka, west beyond Interstate 294, and as far south as Dalton. And the Trump administration is canceling $7.6 billion in grants that supported hundreds of clean energy projects in Illinois and 15 other states. All these states voted for Democrat Kamala Harris in last year's presidential election. The cuts likely affect things like battery plants and hydrogen technology projects. The Republican administration claims the projects do not align with national energy needs. Critics argue this move is politically motivated and it could raise energy costs. You're listening to The Rundown. Much has been made about a first-of-its-kind global settlement the city of Chicago has reached to close 176 lawsuits tied to corrupt former police sergeant Ronald Watts. Watts operated out of a public housing complex, shaking down people for money and intel and arresting them when they didn't pay up. City council members say the $90 million deal saves money and it ends a dark chapter in Chicago history. But what has been lost amid news of the massive settlement are the people at the center of these lawsuits. My colleague Mariah Wolfel spoke with two men about what this moment and the money means to them.
When Dion Willis and Eson Claiborne were growing up in the Ida B. Wells housing complex, Willis says they knew to look both ways for Watts before going outside.
You got to peep out the window, peep out the door, look this way to look that way, just to see if you won't see his cars coming.
His whole team.
Detective cars.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Despite the extra precaution and knowing that Watts had a reputation for framing neighbors, they got set up by Watts themselves. Claiborne remembers it like yesterday, even though it's been 20 years.
It was like 3 months after my birthday. I just turned 17. It was February. I think it was Valentine's Day, I think. I ain't go to school that day. I was kicking it with a couple friends. When he seen me, he grabbed me because we was walking through the building. And when he pulled me to the back door, he told me what I got for him.
Claiborne realized Watts was telling him to cough up some cash or some information on drug dealers in the building. When he didn't have either, he says Watts planted drugs on him, cocaine and heroin, and charged him with two felonies that led to probation. He remembers Watts saying, "That's what you get when you don't listen to Watts." Willis's story is similar, but he was arrested by Watts twice after he wouldn't pay Watts $5,000 or give him intel on illegal activity. He was convicted for heroin possession, but says he didn't have any drugs on him. He spent 2 years in prison and time on house arrest as the case is played out. He missed his daughter's birth as a result.
I was furious. I was furious. I probably walked a hole in the wall, in the floor, in that house at that time. I was furious. But I tried to, like my baby mama said, keep your composure. You okay? You're here. So when she come home, you can see her when she come home. But for them to take that away from me for something I didn't do, it's mind-boggling.
Watts was eventually convicted and served time for shaking down an FBI informant. All of the people involved in the settlement have had their charges vacated, and most have been deemed innocent by a judge. Claiborne keeps his certificate of innocence locked in a safe, ready to show employers who ask for it. Willis says for years, no one wanted to hire him. He couldn't support his two kids, and he still copes with no one believing him for years.
It was like I was shut out the world because of what he did to me. Every day I fight to stay sane and not insane. You know, working and things like that, it helps me, but it's still a fight.
Claiborne lives in Minnesota, where he moved 16 years ago because Watts was still harassing him and his family, who still live here.
Missing family reunions, events and stuff. I missed a whole lot of time up out of my life because I was scared to go back to Chicago because I'm scared he's going to come grab me or something and put me in jail.
As for the settlements, neither Claiborne nor Willis would say what they're receiving. But the payments range from $150,000 for those sentenced to probation to up to more than $3 million for a man who spent a decade in prison. Willis says it doesn't solve all of the problems Watts and the city created, but it helps.
It don't give much, but it gives back a little that I lost.
Claiborne says it's not about the money at all, but publicly acknowledging a wrong done to him. Eventually, he wants to come back home. Mariah Wolfel, WBEZ News.
Weather sunny and very warm today, high in the mid-80s, clear skies tonight, a low in the mid-60s, and sunny and hot on Friday and for the weekend ahead, highs near 90. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.